Good morning and welcome to Organic Matters, here every Saturday morning, 9 to 10 o'clock. Since it's right here at the very 1st of May, we're going to take this part of the show to talk about what I call hot weather plants. In other words, plants you can still put in your garden that will produce very well some. The first thing we're going to talk about is peppers. Actually, this is the right time of year. They like it hot and they love hot, sunny days. So let's start out with a little bit of information on how you can grow peppers here in this part of the state. Peppers are the second most popular vegetable to grow in your backyard gardens. Yes, of course, everybody knows tomatoes are number one. I did the show on tomatoes, everything you'd want to ever know about planting a tomato last week. So this week we're going to go into, again, more detail than you probably want on the how to plant and grow successful peppers. Peppers are prolific producers, come in all shapes, colors, sizes, and range, and taste from the sweetest you can imagine to downright fiery. Peppers, including the ornamental varieties, are members of the Solanaceae family. They're called nightshades, which makes them related to potatoes, eggplants, and tomato plants. Basically, all pepper plants prefer plenty of sunshine and then basically a lot of heat. That's why we wait now to plant them here in our area. I always try to raise several types at a time. I just want to find the right varieties. I like some with heat. I like some that are sweet. I stagger my plantings so that I have several different peppers at different times instead of getting them all at once. And at least for me, the peace of mind I get from growing peppers and all of my vegetables for myself and my kids and grandkids are that I do everything organically. No chemicals in this garden. Hot, sweet, and flavorful. Peppers are healthful, very good for you. They include vitamins A and C, as a matter of fact. Most of them contain more than 200% of your average daily vitamin C intake needs. In addition, they can contain potassium and folic acid, which can be especially important if you happen to be a pregnant lady. In addition, they're also low in calories and have supersized portions of fiber and antioxidants, like lycopene, which may prevent certain types of cancer, including prostate cancer in men. And one other fun fact, Christopher Columbus actually brought these warm season pods to Europe from the West Indies, way back, of course, in the late 1400s, where they were raised as what they called then botanical curiosities. Let's go through a list of a little quick guide right now. Then we'll go back and we'll address each situation. Then we'll go back and address each situation one at a time. First of all, you need to go get your plants probably this late in the year from your favorite garden center. They usually have a good selection, although I've got it warm. This year, maybe it's because of the COVID-19, a number of the nurseries have not had as many plants or as much variety as they have in the past, so you might bear that in mind. Of course, plant into compost-rich soil, full sunshine, folks. You can grow a pepper plant in partial shade, but sure, I don't get very many peppers. I promise they'll just have a plant. Matter of fact, they love it. They thrive during hot days and warm nights. That's why we wait later in the year to plant them than some other plants. If you want really good peppers and you really want them pretty, they do require some fertilizing in water. I'm not a big fertilizer, and the fertilizers I will guide you to are going to be all natural and organic, of course. But consistent fertilization and watering is part of the secret to success that some people don't quite follow. They're a little bit more, needy than some tomatoes. They're still not hard to grow, but to do it right, they require a little bit more care. And the other one thing I've learned, a lot of people just go pop them off. You can do that. It's fine. But if you're going to maintain a plant that continues to put peppers on for longer periods, I carry a little set of scissors. Or better still, let me tell you what's the neatest thing to do. I was taught this by a friend of mine, Bob Webster. I was with he and I both did shows in the weekends and I was there 14 years about gardening. So we got to communicate a lot with each other. But one of the things he did, I don't know where he got the idea, is he took an old mailbox and put it out at his gate in his garden. And he kept his notes in it if he needed it, little extra seeds if he needed it, his scissors, a pencil. It was just the perfect place, and you put them in there when you leave the garden each time. When you come back, they're already there. And boy, that was one of the better ideas. because I'm a pretty forgetful guy, and it certainly helped me. So you might think about that. And finally, I'll give you some hints about how to keep your peppers really healthy and strong, pest-free, and generally healthy for the whole growing season. Except for chili pekins, or some people say chili poutines, not sure what the difference is there. Most of the peppers we grow as annuals, meaning they only last for one season. The pekins will return. You can plant those in your yard and have them reproduce themselves every year for years with very little care. But for those, the ones you want to grow in your garden, okay, you need to do a couple of things. They require full sun, fast-draining soil, and regular water. Peppers grow best when temperatures are warm and need substantial heat to really set fruit. They're a hot weather plant, folks. They're tolerant of drought, but do best in soil that is kind of kept evenly moist, but never soggy. They don't like too much water. Prior to planting, mix plenty of organic matter into your pepper patch. They love rich soil. Peppers are one of the plants that do best are actually watered from underneath. You can just spray water them, but you'll really eliminate a lot of plant problems by watering the ground, not necessarily the actual plant. Pepper plants are happiest if you wait to plant them till your average soil is running 55 degrees or better, which here is no problem at this time of year. I plant mine about a foot or a foot and a half apart, depending on the plant. It's about a foot and a half, usually from all directions. And I plant mine in raised gardens. It's easier for me to work, and it gives me a chance to really, really use rich soil. Some of them do get tall enough, you might want to have some bamboo or some sticks to kind of hold them up. I do try to put down some good organic, well, such as Medina products. Okay, Medina, I think it's Medina Growing Green. Yeah, once or twice after I get the plants and get them established, but before they start setting blooms. Then if you can find it, one thing that they do have a tendency to run short of is potassium. I don't know if we can still get green sand because of COVID, but if you can, green sand would help a lot. But a source of potassium that is naturally sourced and organic bone meal, because it will also help supply some needed calcium and phosphorus for your peppers. Once your peppers get on the roll, harvest them early and often. People don't really realize, in peppers especially, the more you pick, the more they're going to produce. And as I already mentioned, always cut, don't pull, what we'll call them fruits, but the peppers from the plant. Incidentally, depending on the varietal, your first harvest is going to start anywhere from about 60 or 65 days to as late as maybe 80 days for some of the slower maturing varieties. If you're not going to use them right away, store your fresh peppers in a ventilated plastic bag and keep it down in your produce bin of your refrigerator. They should last a week or two there. Of course, you can also slice them, freeze them when you slice them, pickle them. You can do them just like you do any fruit. I love mine actually slowly cooked on the grill when I'm doing my steaks. A pepper is underutilized. The other thing that I find interesting about peppers, and people never think about, if you have a bright sunny area that's sacrifice a little bit of your yard, your lawn, they're beautiful ornamentals. The chili pekins are really cute. There's a number of other peppers that are annuals, but they put on, they're as pretty as flowers. Some have yellow peppers, some have green peppers. Of course, there's some beautiful red peppers. So then you've got a yard planted. You use some other plants, which I've talked about in some of my other planting ideas. You can make a whole yard that's also a whole garden, and it's as beautiful as anybody's yard, but it's serving two purposes. And if you make it all organic, it's good for you, your children, your pets, and you can literally walk out and come back from your front yard with an entire dinner. So anyway, that's sort of my breakdown on peppers. They're a good hot weather plant. They're easy to keep. They're very, very healthy for you. And you, if you do like I do, you end up with more peppers than you know what to do with. So good luck on peppers in your garden this year. And now, just for a little tiny bit of what I call good food news. Chocolate. It's actually really good for your brain. It's always good to learn about more good reasons for me to eat chocolate. Now, Italian researchers have provided us with some impressive facts to digest, pardon the pun, with our delicious treat. Researchers at the University of L'Aquila investigated the effects of acute and chronic administration of cocao flavanols on different cognitive domains. Fancy way on saying, what does chocolate do to your brain? Flavanols are beneficial plant-based nutrients found in a number of foods, but in far greater amounts in cocoa than in any other. Flavanols have been shown to improve blood vessel function in a significant number of published reports. The Italian study looked at what happens to the brain up to a few hours after eating cocao flavanols and the effects of cocoa-enriched diet for prolonged periods of time. Most controlled trials pointed toward beneficial effects on cognitive performance. Participants showed enhancements in working memory performance and improved visual information processing. A study of women subjected to a night of total sleep deprivation showed that eating cocao actually helped counteract the cognitive impairment that sleep loss brings about. Studies of long-term ingestion of cocao have generally looked at elderly individuals, and it turns out that for them, cognitive performance was improved by a daily intake of cocao flavanols. The effect was most pronounced in older adults already exhibiting some memory decline or other mild cognitive impairments. There have been many more reports of various health benefits associated with chocolate. Of course, cocoa is most often ingested in combination with sugar and milk and a variety of additives, all of which may have less than desirable effects as well as high caloric intake. But the basic substance that makes chocolate chocolate appears to be very, very good stuff for your body. What good news. I get pure cocao, folks, cocoa, at a number of the good grocery stores in our area, too. Okay, I know HEB is not right here, but they have it. And I'm pretty sure the big store in Alpine, the Porter's, has it. And it's called Navitas, N-A-V-I-T-A-S. If not, the nearest health store, I'm sure, would have it. It is pure cocao now. Nothing added. So you have to make something with it. It's a powdered organic cocoa. I do a good tablespoon every morning, 5 days a week. I won't say every morning, but 5 days a week in my second cup of coffee. Once you get used to it, you'll really miss it if you don't use it. Not only does it taste great, it's evidently pretty good for you.